Lecture 31, Barbarian Kingdoms in the West.
Welcome back to our series of lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This will be lecture number 31, the third in our series of lectures on the heirs of the Roman Empire. This time we're going to talk about the barbarian kingdoms. In other words, the heirs of the Western Roman Empire. Last time, you'll recall we talked about the Byzantine Empire, the emergence of the Byzantine Empire, the heirs of the Eastern Roman Empire. And then we also talked in the lecture before that about the Islamic world and the Arab peoples, perhaps, as I suggested, the most unpredictable of the three developments that succeeded to the Roman world. Now, in this particular lecture, we're going to start with a little housekeeping. That is to say, when we were talking about late antiquity, we had some kingdoms in place, so we're going to sort of sweep them aside and say a word or two about what happened to those earliest Germanic kingdoms. Then we're going to put some new kingdoms in place, particularly the Franks and the Anglo-Saxons, and we'll look at them in a little bit more detail. Why were they successful? And what were the consequences of their success? Then we're going to look at a very important historical phenomenon in Western Europe, namely the Christianization of Europe, the winning of much of the land of Western Europe for the Roman Catholic Church. And finally, we'll talk a little about the beginnings of the elaboration of a cultural pattern in the West made up of Roman, or at any rate, classical elements, made up of Christian elements, and made up, to a degree, of Germanic elements as well. So this, then, is the job that we have before us. And we're going to notice evolution, we're going to notice change, but we're going to see these changes unfold, seems to me, in fairly consistent ways, just as we noticed, for example, with the Byzantine and with the Islamic world. When we come to the end of this lecture, the end of our consideration of these three heirs of the Roman Empire, I think we'll notice some quite remarkable similarities between and among these three regions. First of all, then, a little bit of house cleaning. The earliest Mediterranean-centered kingdoms, the earliest kingdoms to emerge on Roman soil, failed. Why? The Vandal Kingdom, for example, in North Africa, had several strikes against it. The Vandals were militant Arians. You may recall we had mentioned that many of the Germanic peoples were converted to Arian Christianity either when they were living just along the frontiers of the Roman Empire or when they actually entered the Roman Empire. There were brief periods of time when leading members of the imperial family were themselves Arian, and therefore sometimes, and ironically, and tragically, and disastrously, various peoples entered the Roman Empire, embraced the form of Christianity then being practiced by the imperial family, in other words, what was then official, only to have the imperial family and the church turn to a new form of Christianity, leaving them hanging as heretics. But anyway, the Vandals were fanatical Arians. They were tyrannical pirates in the Western Mediterranean. I mean, basically, they lived by piracy. They took over much of the rich agricultural land of the North African coast and exploited that for their benefits, yes, but also they carried on piracy in the Western Mediterranean. They evoked sufficient howls of protest that Justinian launched armies against them, and between 532 and 534, he defeated them utterly, and basically, they vanished from history, leaving only their name in Andalusia in Spain, which they passed through on their way to Africa. The Ostrogoths were also Arians. Now, they had been sent to Italy when Odoacer, for example, sent in 476 the imperial insignia back to Constantinople. This was a bit of a blow to the Romans. There was something about the historically rich and evocative land of Italy. To have parceled out Gaul, to have parceled out Spain, perhaps even to have begun losing the British Isles to various Germanic peoples, well, that wasn't necessarily something that would have been tops on the Roman agenda. But they were willing to deal with it. They accommodated themselves to it. But giving away Italy, that was different. So to maintain the sense that they were in control, the Romans actually sent, by Romans, of course, I mean the government at Constantinople, sent Theodoric, who reigned from 493 until 526, an Ostrogoth, and his people into Italy to sort of wrest it back from Odoacer and then to rule it under the guise, under the guidance, under the leadership of the government at Constantinople. Now,